traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Now, we also have action from the pro-life side. They think the court made the correct ruling, and they are happy with this decision. Take a listen here.
Well, we're celebrating because, really, it's going back to where abortion is not legal and not going to be happening in our state, because women really never need an abortion for health reasons. You would deliver baby early, treat mom and baby, so it's going to save lives, and so that's why we're so excited.
I know he said he had some appointments coming up, but I couldn't remember the day, so I don't know. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne Dupree, Jason Robinson, Imam in Minnesota. What's up, Jason?
Hey, happy hump day, everybody. Yeah, Wayne and I were just chatting. We're like, did we forget Hutch had a VA appointment, or has the FBI raided his compound?
Yeah, I guess so.
So it's the doctor's appointment, not the FBI.
You know, here's the thing. This abortion thing came down, right? Carrie Lake came out.
Yep.
And is against the decision in the way that it's crafted. Jay, why in the world? And this is politics, because basically is giving pro-life exactly what they wanted. But could it be at the wrongest time?
So I know you'll find this shocking, Wayne. I went back and I read the Arizona Supreme Court decision. And this was a fascinating legal thing. So bear with me, audience, for the explanation. So Roe versus Wade was ruled in 1973.
Right.
And when they read that rule into the record, they interpreted it that abortion was a constitutional right because of privacy. And legal scholars, Trump is right, legal scholars have said that's dangerous. You can't have the court inserting rights into the Constitution. When they overturned it in Dobbs, they said, yeah, this isn't a federally protected right. You know, it's not like freedom of speech or Second Amendment, right to bear arms, that kind of thing. So in Arizona, they passed this law in the 1800s that says no abortions at all unless the mom's going to die. So there is still health of the mother. And then after Roe v. Wade in the 70s, Arizona passed a law. They never unpassed the 1860 law, or they never did away with that law. They passed a new law, and that new law cited the federal right that was mentioned in the Roe versus Wade decision. So Arizona wrote a crappy law, and they've been fighting about that law essentially since it was passed. And the judge's ruling said, well, the law you wrote cites the federal right, so that's why we're throwing it out. They're explicit, like, we have no opinion about abortion or whether it should be or whether it shouldn't be. If you guys want this, just write a cleaner law. And the media's taken it and just gone wild with it. And Trump's coming out, and Arizona's law that was overturned was a 15-week law, which amongst most the federal. So the pro-life side, we want no abortions. The pro-choice side wants,
wait,
well, relatively speaking, I'm saying the extreme end. And then the extreme end on the left says no restrictions. Right. I think normal people land in, okay, we're going to have some abortions. How many weeks should it be? And like, let's flush out. Is it 6 weeks, 12 weeks, rape and incest, you know, those kind of things. And that's where Trump in his statement Monday came out and said, you know, let's just pick a reasonable number and let's, you know, include protections for people, rape, incest, health of the mother. But yeah, the pro-life side, they won an award. And if everybody in the country could agree that abortion should be banned, I'm in. But the fact of the matter is, if Republicans run on that position, they'll never win.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, I thought about it last night, and yeah, Debbie, believe me. I know. She's like, change the study, my body, my choice. I understand that. Okay. And Debbie is a loyal viewer and everything. You know, she's been with us for a little bit. But yeah, I was thinking, I was like, the same thing happened with the Roe versus Wade overturn. I just felt they did that a few months out from the 2022 midterms. I was like,
right.
Timing is something we just don't have, I guess. I don't know.
And I think if you look at the country, you know, the pro-life side does have a point. You don't want government making decisions.
Right.
The pro-choice side, I mean, has a point. Like, you want government to stay out of your affairs. The pro-life side has a point, and it really just comes down to at what point the unborn child is a baby and has rights. And that needs to be the entire discussion. You know, if you feel it's conception or 6 weeks or 12 weeks or heartbeat or whatever it is. But this is one of those many things as a country, you need to take all the politics out of it and say, let's get a compromise everybody can live with, you know. And as a pro-life person, if you say 6 weeks, 12 weeks, something like that, I can not like it. I can compromise with that, and then we can move on with life. You know, I'm not going to be one of these, oh, we need, you know, data conception, which would be my choice. But yeah, it's tough.
Debbie, I love you. I love you, Debbie. Like, I ain't yelling at you, Wade. I'm sick and tired. Well, I'm sick of the decades of boy. I am too. And many of us are. But the one thing that I saw, Jason, when this came up, is I think if President Trump wins, I think it's going to be close, though. But I think if President Trump, yeah, I do think it's going to be close because of what the Democrats can do. I think President Trump will probably win in November. Okay. But you don't want to poke the beast on a subject like this to get a groundswell where they can cheat with no issues, because the top, and this is across the board, I think, the top topic or the top subject for the election right now is immigration, I think.
Immigration, the economy.
The economy, like right.
World War III.
Man, did you see the okay. But the illegal immigration thing, I mean, they're spending $300 million in 11 months in Chicago.
Yep.
On illegal immigrants. $300 million. And actually, we shouldn't be that surprised, because we did report here on the Wayne Dupree program that they were giving illegals, $9,000 a month. So, I mean, I can see why they did that. But it's going to be, I mean, they're talking about money flowing in. They're going to have a whole lot of money flowing in for this election now for abortion. And and here comes the Supreme Court adding, they're going to start talking about adding people to the Supreme Court again, you know?
Well, what's interesting is if you look at the approach the Democrats have taken with Trump this election, they've taken the insurrection, they've taken the threat to democracy, and they got no traction on that. And they tried bloodbath, they got no traction. You know, they tried blaming the border on him, no traction. That got reversed on them, and now Biden bloodbath is trending. You know, and so every attack they've tried to, and they've even tried to juice the job numbers and Bidenomics. They don't even mention Bidenomics anymore. But the only thing that they can gain any traction on is abortion. And, you know, they want to mischaracterize the conservative position, which, don't get me wrong, there are people that feel like zero abortions, that should be the rule. And there are people, and every time you bring up the topic, you get very you get very differing opinions. Like we had somebody in the chat, one of the listeners that's in every day, like, why are men talking about this? Well, I'm sorry, men get a say in that too. And just
exactly.
Yeah. And just my opinion, I think if you father a child and aren't there to support the child, both financially and through being involved in the child's life, I think you should be locked up in jail till the child's 18. That's just my opinion. Like, takes two to create a baby, takes two to raise a baby. And I think for society to thrive, we need to focus on growing that next generation, you know? And I mean, we've talked about, like, we kind of screwed our kids over. They've got so much debt, the world, like, they don't even know if they're boys or girls anymore. Like, let's save the grandkids because it's too late for the kids.
And plus, why are men talking about this? Because it's an election. It's an election. Or at least that's where I'm pointing it to, because just because it's passed, or they did this thing, and they did it in a crazy way, and it became the number one topic last night, and they're talking about it all day today, and many people are even saying that they're going to turn it into a major issue for the 2024 elections. So it's like, we're not saying anything about what you should do with your body. We're talking about the election and how it's probably going to be used as a tool for Democrats to circle their wagons.
It's the only tool they have.
That's the only one they got. They can't do anything on immigration. They can't do anything on the economy. They can't do anything about foreign policy. They can't do anything about domestic policy. The only thing that they got right now is abortion.
Right.
On tap for them. On tap. That's what they wanted.
And really, even on abortion, like, every argument's been made. Nobody has ever brought a new topic to the conversation. The fact a country, call it 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 18 weeks, whatever the number is, and move on. Like, there's just, nobody's going to win an argument. Nobody's going to solve it. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things as a nation. And I think Trump's approach is the right approach. Let states decide. You know, give it 10 years, give it 20 years. Let states have different laws. Let states figure out what the best laws are. And then at that point, you look at adopting that federally. That's how it was supposed to work. You have 50 different labs to experiment on things. Kind of like in Minnesota, they're toying with universal basic income. I think it's a horrible idea, and I'm a Minnesota resident. But you know what? Let them try it. Let them see it fail. Let's not have these conversations at the federal level. You know, let the states deal with it and move on.
Yeah, I agree with that. Check this out. Deanna, come on now. Come on.
Come on. It is true.
I mean, well, the truth is that's where the abortion clinics are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have abortion clinics in white neighborhoods. You don't have abortion clinics in rich neighborhoods. You put them in the minority neighborhoods. But guess who goes to the minority neighborhoods? Everybody non-white, too. They travel to those communities. I mean, especially in the heartland of, well, yeah. In the heartland of America, they travel to minority communities, whether it's to get the weed or to get the drugs, to get the weed, or to get abortions. There was a in a heated night with
that was a good show.
Carol O'Connor, well, the movie Carol O'Connor, yep. And Sidney Poitier. At the time, it was a little white girl that traveled into a minority community, and I think she had a boyfriend at the time or whatnot that she blamed a rape on or whatnot. But for these things, if you want to throw that in there, then you say, okay, why don't they put liquor stores on every corner in the white neighborhoods? Why don't they put why doesn't Planned Parenthood put abortion clinics on not on every corner, because it's not on every corner in the black neighborhood, but they are in the black neighborhood. They just aren't in they aren't in the Asian neighborhood. They aren't in the white neighborhood. They aren't in the Indian type neighborhoods. That's where they are. So,
well, and I think what her point is, so I'm just pulling up the results.
Exactly. They don't want to see them.
If you look at, so the latest data I can find is from 2021, the number of abortions reported in the United States by percentage of total, the blacks are 42% of all abortions. Whites are 30%. Hispanic are 22%. And then other makes up the rough percent. So
here's the thing, Jay. I mean, look, and thank you for those numbers. That, but some abortions aren't reported.
Right.
Okay. Some aren't reported, especially when you get to those high value families that want to keep it off the books, $10,000 to your charity or whatnot and whatnot. And I'm not saying it's thousands of this. I'm not saying it's thousands of that going on, but all abortions are not on the books. And now, especially with this thing that just after Roe versus Wade was taken from the federal level, abortions are still on. I have the same number as it was when it was on the federal level. I read that a couple of weeks ago. It hasn't gone down from what I read. Let's see.
Abortion. Yeah, and what's interesting is I think what she's pointing to is if you go back to the start of Planned Parenthood, which was behind the abortion movement, it was actually a eugenics exercise by Stanger. And she literally in her documentation said, you know, we need to remove undesirables from the population. And part of doing it was dropping it in black communities. And I got to say, if you look systematically, what will destroy the country, it's what we've done to these inner city, largely black communities. You made them government dependent. You made it hard for them to get out. You flooded them with drugs and all sorts of vice. Wayne hit the nail on the head. I mean, if back before like pot was legal, or now if you want cocaine, you drive to the poor neighborhood, you know, and the kids are out on the street. You know, it's remarkable what we've done. And we took communities that, I mean, you go back in the 50s and 60s, like a lot of the black communities were the most religious. They were some of the most effective communities in the nation. And like they had a rough time and they were going to improve. I mean, but then we come in and we start flooding them with all sorts of vices, and yeah, it's tragic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I it's easy to see, you know, especially when you grow up in it, it's easy to see, and it's hard not to unsee. I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's,
and it's just not a black thing either. I mean, I grew up in poor white neighborhood, and we had all the same stuff, you know, it was full of drugs and alcohol. You had people that didn't think they could get ahead. You had people that became dependent on public assistance. And then, you know, their focus was, well, I'll just get my free check instead of how do I get out of here? Because I don't, you know, for me, I looked at that lifestyle and said, I don't want to be somebody who's going to be reliant on government assistance. I want to jump ahead so that my children can get a better start, you know, and like you did the same thing. Like your kids are off to a good start. You know, they're going to college. They're, you know, doing whatever, you know, you've given them tools to survive. And that's where we all need to get to is, you know, how can we get that next generation up?
Yeah. I just, here it is. This was three weeks ago. Despite abortion restrictions in many states, more than 1 million abortions were performed in the U.S. in 2023, according to a new report from the Guttmacher Institute. That's a 10% increase from 2020 and the highest number in more than a decade. It's not really.
Yeah, there's no shortage of abortions in America.
Yeah. I mean, and now they got the, well, you know, the pill thing. Didn't the Supreme Court say that they aren't ruling on the pill, or did they rule on the pill or just something like that?
That's still.
Or is that coming up?
I think that's coming up. They've presented evidence, and like even the pill discussion really comes down to what should be paid for by citizens. That's what people have to understand.
Okay.
In the pill discussion, it's not so much is the pill legal or illegal, it's should the government pay for the pill.
Which they
and
should.
I'm just going to say it too, and this may be an unpopular position, especially with female members of the audience, but I think the birth control pill screws up women's hormones. And I think it's such a moneymaker for the pharmaceutical companies that I don't know if you'll ever get studies on it or whatnot, but I think that, well, and if you look, it changes their hormones. And by nature, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be unintended side effects. But I think when they pushed that through, it was almost like the shot they pushed through a couple of years ago that we can't mention, where they didn't really test it. They didn't really talk about it. They just push it through and it's a huge thing. But the legal cases are just, should the government be paying for it? And in my opinion, no, like they don't pay for my vitamin C pills. Why should they pay for that?
You know, well, I'll leave the subject alone. But men do have thoughts here because there are a lot of men around this country that their heart hurts when they don't have a say in whether and I know it's a woman's body, but some of these men out here, they want their kids. What are you going to do for that? I mean, seriously, I mean, it's a topic that really doesn't get discussed too much. It does get discussed, but it doesn't get discussed too much. But there are some men out here that would say, okay, fine. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. I'll take it.
Right.
And that's just a guy. I still love you too, Dina. I wish I could give you a hug. But there are men out here that want that. They because I tell you this, there's a lot of men out here that are getting child support, and a lot of these men aren't even the daddies of the kids. A lot of these men are going out, a lot of these men are getting stuck. They're paying child support for 15, 16 years, and then come around, turn around. Yeah, exactly. Debbie says, it takes two to tango. I heard somebody else say, it's not a woman's fault because there's two usually at the scene of the crime.
Right.
You know,
actually the chat is excellent. Little Rock Coffee, I got a vasectomy, so my wife didn't have to take the pill. Tiffany got her tubes tied. After three boys, Charlene. This is a fired up chat room. Giddy up.
I love my babies. But I do remember I had a girlfriend, and when I went to the military. And we were together for a little bit. And as we were breaking up, as we were separating, she said to me, she was like, what would happen if, and I don't know where this question came from, Jay. I mean, you know, we were just arguing about this and that. And the question came up. What would happen if I had an abortion and didn't tell you?
Oh.
What? What? Did you have an abortion? No, I'm just asking.
Oof.
I told her, I was like, I would not be happy because I don't believe in abortion. But that's me. I don't believe in abortion.
Now, yeah, that scenario, I had a similar conversation. I'd be like, well, I would just raise the kid. I mean, if you don't want to be part of the kid's life, like, that's on you.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's where I was going. But because of the situation, because of us going back and forth and arguing, is that her like that? She told me she didn't have that abortion. But I was like, what? We're talking about space and time. And so, why would you say that?
Right.
And
wait, like, did that condom have a hole in it? What's going on?
I mean, I would have been okay. Let's do this thing right. Let's get it done. You know, let's roll with it. I'm here. I'm ready to go. I wasn't raised to run from my responsibility. I take care of my responsibility.
Yep.
You know. I mean,
and there's no greater responsibility in life than creating a life.
That's the truth. It's scary. Well,
yeah. And once you create a life, your entire life should be, how can I make sure that child survives and does well? And I mean, here's the tragic thing. So I think my stepdaughter, she's a blue haired liberal. I love her to death. She's waking up now, though, that she's out on her own and paying taxes. She's starting to come around. But she got pregnant, and her significant other, which they're going to be getting married, have been not trying, you know, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And, like, as soon as she was pregnant, like, it was month two or whatever when we found out. I mean, the entire family says, we are so excited. We are so happy. This is what a blessing. What can we do? So my wife and I've sent you pictures. Like, we set up a nursery. Do you need us to help watch the kid? You know, what do you need for your house? Her aunt, hey, I'm going to set up a nursery in my house. We know daycare is expensive.
Right.
So like, whatever we can do to help you with that. Her brother, who he's a knucklehead 21-year-old, he's like, oh, you know, you work on the weekends and I'm off on the weekends. So if you need me to watch the kid during the day, I can. The entire family looks at this as such a blessing. And how can we all help? And we are so excited for this baby. And to see somebody who gets pregnant and like their first thought is, oh, I got to get rid of this thing. It just tears me up. Like, how did we get there as a society where, mm-hmm. first of all, don't sleep with people if you don't want to make a baby. Like, it's really, really simple.
That's the thing.
And if something happens where you have a baby, then, like, that should be the greatest blessing God could ever give you. And you should treat it as such.
You should learn.
You know, every time I say something like that, somebody will be saying, well, what if they were raped or that kind of thing? There is a super duper small percent of people that happens to. And, you know, that's every a one-off time, discussion. I'm just saying the 99% that happen, like,
every it should time be the I greatest hear that, blessing. Though, every time I hear that, though, it's like they act like people are getting incest and rape all over America as if they were the super majority of it going on. And I'm like, if it's that's if it is that much incest going on to have that many abortions, then the people doing the incest should be put to death. And I ain't playing. If it's so much, I'm not saying that it's not a whole lot of rape, because it is a whole lot of rape going on. And I do feel bad for the women that are going through that, especially in this day and time, because the FBI is not looking in on it because they're doing a whole lot of other stuff.
They're chasing their grandmas on January 6th.
Yeah. But in the case of incest, every time that's brought up, that makes me roll my eyes almost. I mean, Jay, I almost fall asleep because my eyes are closed for so long when I hear that incest stuff. We understand. And y'all need to understand. We agree with the incest, if that's the case. We agree with the rape. We understand that. But this woman's health thing, you're snuffing out a life for an insurance policy for many, many women that are irresponsible. I'll say it. Many women that do this are.
And the men are just as irresponsible.
Irresponsible. Right. And, well, the men. The men. Look. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. I mean, you want to talk about it? Okay. Look, I understand if a man doesn't want to wear a condom, but y'all should talk about it before you do it. Okay? Because there is an outcome if you don't. Plain and simple. There's an outcome if you don't wear a condom. Are you ready for that? Yes or no? Sign here, turn it over on the back, initial here, and sign here. Okay? I mean, if that's what we need to go to, then that's what we need to go to. We need to go to the paperwork, okay?
Well, and if you think about that for a second for the men of society. Let's just talk about the men. You need to, if you're going to have sex and you don't want to wear a condom, you need to balance. That choice is going to have potentially a consequence, and you have to be willing to deal with that consequence. And that's the nature usually is in the throwback. Yeah, we've all been there, Darla. But I'm just saying, like, the more we can separate people's responsibilities from their choices, the more we decay as a society, you know. And even when I was young and we all had moments, at every point, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to make a baby. Like, I'm not quite ready for that yet, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the replies to Darla.
I know.
I gotta say, I wish everybody could see the streaming chat. I wish we could get the Rumble chat on there too.
I know. The Rumble's killing it too.
Phenomenal today.
And look, and Big Black said, we need to talk about it. You know, where we said that we're going to kind of calm it down. He said, no, we need it. It is a subject that needs to be talked about. However, I'll go back to how we started this thing. I don't know whether this is one of those bombs that are in the field that is going off before the election. There was a young black man that was killed in Chicago. I saw the video. I saw the video this morning. We said that there was going to be a situation for the election. We did, right? Didn't we?
Yep.
Did you see the video?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And I don't know when it happened, but they just released the video. And looking at the video, you would have thought it was OK Corral, man. I mean, we haven't heard of any stray bullets that went into people's houses. So, but I'm sure, I mean, it's a residential neighborhood. I ain't even going to get into that right now. I'm not. I want to check out more. I mean, the families came out and said something about it, but dude, there's a video on there like from like 18, 19 angles, man. I was like,
right. All these kids,
government spy or something.
All these kids that are at these wild occurrences that are happening, they're all streaming it and recording it. And, that's what's crazy is.
Well, this was the police body cam, though.
Bro. Oh, yeah. Oh, that might be a different one. I didn't see the body cam. I saw some.
It was a white. It was a white truck in a residential neighborhood in Chicago. And
I saw a video of that, but I didn't think it was police body cam.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. That was police.
Well, and these poor police in these communities, they're outgunned so badly. They have run off the good cops. I mean, you have three or four people per, you know, thousand or, you know, hundreds of thousands. I mean, Baltimore, when the ship crashed, they had three police officers on duty or something ridiculous like that.
Ooh, I got to show you something. I got to show you something. I never thought that they would do something like this. You have Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I think it comes out today. Today, yeah. I don't know what would possess them to do this, but for those that have Netflix, I guess those that want to watch it, new trailer that just came out for a series on Netflix.
Oh.
And you probably will watch it. I know you will.
Now I'm excited. Right. Oh, by the way, Civil War comes out this week.
Did you see the reviews that thing is getting?
No, is it getting good reviews?
Yeah. Yeah. Like movie of the year type stuff.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Predictive programming, folks.
Oh my god. And I mean, I want to see it because you remember the guy was like, I'm an American. Yeah.
Which type? Here's what's funny though. Don't let your lefty friends act like there were states talking about seceding from the Union when Trump won.
Yeah.
There was movements, there's people in different things. So don't let them say, it's just a right wing thing. Right. I mean, if and when Trump wins, there's going to be states on the left that mm-hmm. are going to pursue ways to leave the Union. I mean, if you look, the definition of a sanctuary city or sanctuary state, which is a bunch of lefty states, they mm-hmm. are saying the federal government has no authority to enforce immigration laws in their state. I mean, that's kind of a soft secession, you know. You're telling mm-hmm. the federal government to go jump in the lake. So,
all right, hold on to your.
All
hold
right,
on to
I your can't head. Wait.
This is called Unlocked. Yeah. It takes at an Arkansas detention facility. Real life, real jail, real warden, doing a social experiment. Lord.
Jails in America are violent and understaffed, which means inmates are locked down for up to 23 hours a day. That's why this sheriff is willing to risk it all on a new radical idea. No locks. and no officers.
And let y'all be a community. The detainees will have 6 weeks to prove that they can act more like people and not criminals. It could end helping somebody to be free and stay free.
Man, come on. It's a pod full of felons. We running the pod now.
And we still gotta follow the rules in here.
We gonna get lit in this month.
Dude, we finna make hoots.
We gonna get drunk this year.
We're not gonna let nobody mess this up for us.
Oh, you guys are gonna ruin it for all of us.
It's a big opportunity for me that I can reconnect with my kid and be the best father that I can be.
You wanna keep this freedom, just go by the basic rules and you'll be good.
Let's go, people, let's go!
The things they doing here might shut this down.
We need to be prepared if things get out of hand.
They don't take but one person in here to mess all of that up. Y'all in the ride for y'all life now.
Okay, that looks really good.
Jay, when I saw that yesterday, I was like, I'm in.
Right.
I'm like, I'm in.
What's your prediction for how it turns out?
Oh, the police going in there.
Yeah.
Police going in there. Because there's always one that is going to mess it up for everybody. Because that's how they're wired. You know, so.
Well, I was going to say, you take any sampling of any population. Mm-hmm. And drop them anywhere you want. You could go take a bunch of rich white people and drop them on an island. You could take a bunch of felons and drop them on an island. And what's going to end up happening is they're going to organize into a tribe.
Lord of the Flies.
Hierarchy established based on who the most powerful is.
Yep. You're going to have your top tier. You're going to have the top tier that is going to tell people what to do and how to do it. You're going to have your middle tier, your workers that are going to do everything. And then you're going to have your slackers that are getting what the middle people are, but they're not doing anything. And then you're going to have the worst kind that aren't doing anything, that are sowing seeds of discord and breaking off to do their own thing. Your loners. That's just what Jay is talking about, you know,
it's funny. I was talking about the article Will wrote for the Tribune. It dropped today, but if you look, humans across time go through the same cycle where you have a period where people get along, everybody has common goals, and then you have some people that produce a lot and they produce surplus for the group,
right?
And then all of a sudden the people that aren't producers start saying, well, I should have stuff more like those people that are producing. And then at some point it's like, oh yeah, you know, we can help you out. And then that population grows and it weighs down the group where it's like, no, you need to focus on your production. And then eventually it comes all the way around where you have these people that feel it's their right to get the same as the people that are producing. And you know, that's when communists and socialists move in and they just say, yeah, you're right. You know, you might produce way less than that person, but you should get the same. I use the example when I was working in retail, like you'd have a truck unload team and, you know, that'd be 20 people responsible for unloading the freight, processing it, getting it put out. Well, when payroll got tight, you'd have to cut hours. And in the stores that cut everybody's hours, you would see those stores always struggle to produce because your high producing associates would look at the slug next to them and say, why am I doing twice as much work as Bob? I just got to work as hard as Bob. Now in stores that said, okay, the hours got cut, I'm cutting my least productive associates' hours. Now there became an incentive for the people to be the strongest producer and those stores just naturally ran better. So yeah.
The Civil War thing that you were talking that we were talking about.
I've seen the previews, they're great.
Yeah, for those that don't know what we're talking about, for the last couple of years, all you see online is Civil War. We're going through Civil War and Civil War. You know, we just. And it's like, okay. The movie producer was like, okay. You want to talk about it? Let's do it. Let's be about it. Let me create one of the most disturbing videos so that you would understand exactly what a civil war in today's America would be like. Now, when I'm looking at the reviews from these these big time movie reviewers, many of those are like, they were on the edge of their seat. They were worried. It was a wait, hold on, minute, you know, type of deal. It said the whole thing was shot beautifully. And the acting was way above what you would expect for something like this. This is not just a shoot 'em up movie. And on top of that, one reviewer said at least one thing that we all recognize is that journalism or reporters are going to be everywhere. You know, even in a situation like this, reporters are everywhere. So if y'all have not, if you plan on going to see it, let us know in the chat. If you plan on not seeing it, let us know in the chat. If you haven't seen the trailer, let me give you a little bit.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Bloody.
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
Jay, something really, in watching that again, watching that trailer again, I come to a realization that all the people online that have been talking about, yeah, there's going to be a civil war, there's going to be a civil war in there. What they don't realize, or what I don't think they're putting two and two together, when there was a civil war, it was North versus South. Okay. Military versus military. That way. Jay, the U.S. military is controlled by Congress.
Right.
Due to the Constitution, posse comitatus, I think that's what it is. The U.S. military itself, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, can't function on American soil in that type of thing. If Congress gives the U.S. military orders to shut this stuff down, because of the training and stuff, and I know we have a gay army, we have gay military and stuff, but do you, in watching that, because, I mean, yes, there are going to be some deserters in the military, but guess what happens in the military when you desert? You get killed. That's just how it is. You're treated like a traitor because you aren't following orders. And one of the reasons why they do that is because they want to keep you in line. You follow orders or it's what happens to you. I don't think the people online and on the keyboards and stuff really understand that the U.S. military, if they are deployed to certain states and stuff underneath the direction of the president or Congress or whatnot, they have to follow orders. You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going with that?
Let me just flesh out a few things here. First, our audience, for the most part, is familiar with predictive programming. What predictive programming model is that the government helps work with entertainment companies to submit things into society through television, through radio, through movies, to help condition you to accept it. That's why, in my opinion, pre-COVID, every movie you saw was a zombie virus movie. Like, it was such a huge genre, kind of preparing you mentally. So I think we're being prepared for something with this civil war. I also think right now we are in a cold civil war. And by that, I'll say we're in a cold civil war because civil wars happen in countries when you start getting people in two different factions that just don't agree on anything. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. And we're there. Mm-hmm. I mean, one side doesn't know what bathroom to use. You know what I mean? And the other side wants government out of their life. So we're already in a soft civil war. And if you look at sanctuary cities, states, if you look at what Texas is doing, ignoring the Biden administration, states are starting to ignore the federal government. So you are seeing the camps and the lines being drawn. And the period of the Civil War, it was like 20, 30 years buildup before somebody started shooting. But I think what would be interesting if a civil war breaks out, and you know more about the military than I do, let's say Texas says they're going to secede. You're not going to enforce the border, Joe Biden. We're done. We want out. And you go to send military into Texas, who has their own military. You know, you've got a bunch of good old boys in Texas, state militias. You have different, what's the reserves, the state reserves, that kind of thing. But if you send the army in and there's a bunch of Texas boys, are they going to pick the side of their friends and neighbors?
Right.
Or are they going to pick the side of the federal government?
And that's what I was saying. They have, unless they want to go to jail or unless they friendly fire or whatnot, they have to. I mean, you sound on a dotted line to follow orders. So that's what I'm thinking. Terry said, I don't think Congress can shut down the military. I didn't say that Congress can shut down the military. I said that the Congress would be telling the military of what to do.
But, I mean, here would be another example. If Trump wins, or when Trump wins, how many left-wing states are going to ignore the federal government? You know what I mean? And we even saw it in the last election. People forget about this, but we remember all this. We got the clips. But the Democrats were contesting the Electoral College. They were saying, I mean, there was videos of different actors and actresses saying, you don't need to certify President Trump as president. There were states, there was actually a movement that was gaining traction and had like 20-30% approval for the three West Coast states to secede from the Union.
I got one for you. January 6th.
Yeah.
From some of the things that I heard, Trump wanted the National Guard in DC.
He did. Bowser told him no.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you brought up Trump, but what happens if the Pentagon decides to go their own way?
Yep.
You know, when he's president, and if something like this were to happen, but I mean, and you know, we're going about what about the ifs and stuff like that. That's the way of the world. That's how things work. But who was it? Somebody said just a while ago, social civil war. That's basically what it is.
100%.
That's basically what it is. Because a whole lot of these people, they don't, I mean, you can say that there's going to be a civil war, but who's going to fight it? Seriously, who's going to fight it? And then who are you going after? Regular Americans? How do you know if they're Republican or Democrat? I mean, well, and if that's the way that you're going to break it down, Democrats are going after Republicans, and Republicans are going to go after Democrats. Okay, you're walking them all. How do you tell who's a Democrat and who's a Republican? Back there in the day, you knew it was North versus South. There was a line. Boom. Everybody below this line, South. Everybody above this line, North. You know? How do you tell, what? Is a Civil War only to take over D.C.? Because there's military in every state. You take over D.C., and next thing you know, by the end of the week, D.C. is going to be surrounded by the U.S. military.
I'm just saying, Civil Wars happen in all sorts of countries. Almost no nation. But
there's a line, though.
What's that?
There's a line. Is the people versus the government? Is the rebel versus the existing?
The American Civil War was unique in that it was very geographically segregated.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's not always the case in civil wars. You know, usually it's fought around class lines, and you know, ultimately it comes to richer
overseas. Overseas, and what you're talking about, usually it's the revolutionaries, the rebels. Removing the current system of government that they feel is oppressing them, you know, and but usually 9 times out of 10, or maybe 8 times out of 10, that's your military. That's your military taking over the country over top. Because regular civilians can't do it.
Well, but I mean, here's what you got to realize. I mean, you remember the Bunker Boy phase? When there was all the Antifa riots, they burned the church across the street.
Yeah.
There was thousands of people in front of the White House. There was so much activity. More police were injured that day. I forget what the day is. It was like March 2019. There were more people injured that day than January 6th.
Yep.
And the Secret Service was so concerned, they moved President Trump to the bunker.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid people were going to storm the White House. And... Yeah. If you remember, the leftist media mocked it. They started calling Trump Bunker Boy.
I remember.
But if you think of that, when Trump wins, you are going to, like, what happened in the George Floyd riots, I think that's just a preview of what's to come in America, especially if he starts doing things.
What, Trump going to the bunker?
No, I mean, if you look at the Summer of Love, and you look at the anger, and you look at all the big money groups that funnel things into those activities, whatever you believe about that, you know, and that was fueled a bit by COVID. People were crazy because they were being locked up in their house. But I think you're going to have a similar level of rage if Trump gets elected and does what he says he's going to do. I think the Civil War, like, they're framing it up like, oh, the righties are going to be the January 6th people and they're going to go to take it over. I think it's a greater risk the other way, where Trump wins, starts doing things, and all of a sudden, magically, Antifa and all these other groups pop back up. And you're like, where have you been for 4 years?
Yeah,
and I think they'll be the ones that would initiate something.
Not only will they be back, they'll be back on election night.
Right.
Inauguration night. Inauguration day. They'll be back. In force, in larger force. They've been laying low. But then again, I've always thought this too, because I don't know why they're laying low, but thank God they're laying low. I've always thought this too.
Wait, hold on.
Because I always felt that, you know, that story about Frankenstein? Frankenstein created a monster, and then the monster killed him.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So for me, I've always wondered, I was like, okay, Democrats occupy Wall Street. Well, no. Let's talk about Antifa. Antifa rose up under Democrats toward the end of Barack Obama. Antifa. Okay. Democrats thought that they can control Antifa. So right now, Antifa is dormant because Biden's in office.
Yep.
Because Democrats feel we can control them. Sooner or later, Frankenstein's monster is going to say, no, you can't. And they are going after Democrats.
Yep.
Because that's in their mind. I don't know whether they're getting money or not. Probably they are, but sooner or later, is it enough money? You know what I'm saying? Is it enough?
It's never enough.
Exactly. It's never enough. And then they're gonna think that they have more power than they have, and I used to say, you remember those riots in St. Louis? I forgot the kid that was killed on the street.
Michael Brown?
Michael Brown. At night, they were pulling people out of their cars.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all really think that y'all are going to be safe when things really pop off? They pulling people out of their cars, even like during the Watts riot with the Rodney King situation. They're pulling people out of their truck. Y'all really think that they know who's a Republican and a Democrat? They don't care.
They just know if you're on the streets with the torch, man.
Portland, the same thing was, they get in front of your car, they slow you down, they open up your door, bang your window out, and then they pull you out and beat the crap out of you. That's just who these people are. You know,
well, that was kind of my favorite part of the Summer of Love, is you'd see these videos of people getting attacked and they're like, wait, no, I'm Black Lives Matter. I support
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you don't care.
So? Like,
right. But, I mean, the people who are behind these organizations, if you believe in whatever you want to call it, that conspiracy theory or whatnot, like, they don't care. They just want the chaos and destruction.
That's all.
They want to rule over the ashes. They understand you need to break an egg to make an omelet.
Right.
That egg is our civilization and society. And if you look at what's happening in these towns after that, I mean, it's awful. Mm-hmm. And it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And Linda, with the comment of the day, it's no longer Democrat and Republican. It's a people against the government. Government is no longer living within their boundaries. And America is close to becoming no more. A truer statement couldn't be made. I mean, federal, but I mean, imagine if Trump goes in and he starts laying off a bunch of federal workers, he starts deporting.
Can you imagine how pissed off they're going to be?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Can you imagine what militia they're going to join? Some of these people just aren't going to go home and collect checks. Some of these people are going to get mad. You know why? Because maybe the checks aren't there. You know, I mean.
Well, and let's put it in perspective. The federal government, for every dollar they spend, or every $3 they spend, they only collect two.
Mm.
So you've got a third gap on there. And we're not even talking Social Security, which is even worse.
Right.
So you nobody watching this show can live under that budget where if I collect $2, I spend three. That's just unsustainable. So you're going to be in a spot where you're going to have a lot of people whose taxes are going to go way up,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to have a lot of people who money going to them goes way down.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, you're going to have a lot of pissed off Americans, yeah. Which, by the way, Can I talk about taxes for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I do taxes for buddies of mine, like 5 or 10 of my friends. I started doing it years ago. I don't charge them or whatever, but like they're like, oh, you do your own taxes? Why don't you do mine? Because it's so expensive. But anyways, so I had a fascinating 3-day streak of doing taxes. I did taxes for one of my buddies, his girlfriend, and then another one of my buddies over like Thursday, Friday. So the one buddy makes $50,000 a year, give or take. And we figured up his taxes and his return. And he said, how much money did I pay the federal government? So, and he's normal guy, owns a small house, has one kid. Guess how much his net tax bill was to the federal government?
Tax bill to the government.
Yeah. So they withheld like $5,000. And guess how much, like, his net, because they give some of that back. I'll tell you the answer. A dude making $50,000, he only paid $700 federal taxes.
Okay.
Through the year. I mean, they withheld $3,000 or $4,000. They gave him a $2,800 return or whatever the number was. But his net output was $50,000. And it was funny because I was showing him that. I'm like, no, dude, you only paid $700 making $50,000 to the federal government. His girlfriend, who made $50,000, she went on disability. She had some health problems. And so she only made $30,000 that year. And then she was on like short-term disability through her work the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. She paid $0 in federal tax. They gave it all back. Ironically, Minnesota gave her back all the tax money she had paid in plus $2,000.
Oh,
so wait, she actually,
how much did he have to pay
in state government? Income tax in Minnesota?
No, the federal government.
Well, federal government, his net was 700 and hers making $30,000 was zero. She paid no taxes.
Okay. So he got 700 from the federal government.
No. He paid in. So he had $4,000 withheld. He got a $3,300 return. Mm-hmm. So his net payment to the government was $700.
Okay. All right.
Wow. Here's what's funny. So my next buddy, who went from making like $50,000-$60,000, he had a really good year in his business, and he made closer, almost six figures. Right. He paid $9,000 to the government. That was his net after everything. And it's like, it's funny. There's this perception that people who, like, you have a higher tax rate, like people make, and I do taxes from, like, just in my friend group, people that have very diverse income streams, and like dudes making $50,000 or less, you pay almost nothing in federal taxes. And it's funny, because my one buddy who made like was pushing six figures, he says, so my two roommates that make $50,000, they're going to end up paying like less than $1,400 in taxes between the two of them. And me, who made what they both did, like I ended up paying $10,000 in federal taxes. I'm like, welcome to America. Like,
I remember I had a tax person tell me, you don't want to make more than $65,000 or $7,000 a year is what they said.
You get, and it's funny because they like to paint it as millionaires and billionaires and whatnot. But as you creep up the tax bracket, when I was in the corporate world, like I made a ton of money. And I remember if I'd look at doing a job change and like, hey, this new job, I think will be better. I'll do less travel, but it's going to pay me $30,000 a year less or whatever the number was. When I would look at how much that would impact my take home, because I was just, you know, once you're over 100,000, like you're just giving a ton to the government. It would be like, wait a second, I can take a big pay cut and I don't feel it that much just because the government screws you. And that's where it gets tough. Those people that, you know, you start making $50,000-$60,000 a year and you're like, okay, I'm going to push through and make more money. Right. You don't see your take-home pay going up commensurate with the effort because the government takes so much of it. And then it ends up being just, you know, like, hey, why am I working that hard? Like, I'm just going to end up giving it to the government.
Real quick, did you see what I posted about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Oh, the chapstick.
Well, I got that from you, but I posted something this morning.
I saw it. Let me look.
I posted something this morning because it's like we're seeing more and more and more of her, and she's calling out Johnson. Now, the Daily Caller, real quick, the Daily Caller put out something slamming Johnson about Mayorkas's impeachment. How he was a failure for that. And I'm like, but the Washington Examiner did something yesterday, last night, that said that Johnson was sending the articles and stuff up to the Senate. But it's the Senate Republicans that are saying, hold on, wait a minute. We need some more time to gather all this stuff for a jury or like a trial type of thing.
And they're like, but they just wanted to run out the clock.
That's all. But people are blaming Johnson for that. And it, I mean, and look, I'm not saying he's the best. I'm not saying he's the best, but what he was given, Bill Cosby said it the best. Imagine a steak, T-bone, mashed potatoes and gravy, Brussels sprouts or broccoli, steamed with cheese and butter.
Okay. I was going to say, almost lost me at Brussels sprouts.
apple pie or peach cobbler on the side. Imagine this beautiful dish and red wine red wine with beef, I think. Okay. Imagine all this beautiful dish being served to you on a trash can lid. That's what Johnson got, or that's what Johnson walked into when he became speaker, from what was left over from McCarthy. Now, I have said over and over again, y'all knew that he was going to do this before he brought it to y'all and paper-wise, because many of y'all went on podcasts and stuff and talked about it. I was like, why didn't y'all take him off during their negotiations? Why didn't y'all do, well, this is what he's going to do, so let's remove him and put somebody else in there. They didn't do it. So he put forward what he put forward, and then everybody's blaming him for putting it forward because of what he was given. So, when I see Marjorie Taylor Greene speak now, all I see is Kevin McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I swear every time, because it's a payback thing. She's going after Johnson with a vengeance because Johnson replaced her guy.
Yep.
You know, and I can't unsee that. And, you know, people are going to say, well, Wayne, I do trust Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know what? Great. If you do, you do. But I still see her, like I said, as a defender of Speaker John, of Kevin McCarthy, because he gave her the seat appointment, gave her all this stuff, and gave her the power that she wanted and everything. And now it's gone. So now she's going after that. And on top of that, she called out MAGA people. She called some MAGA people names in the House, people that were Trump supported. She called them out. She tried to make them look bad because she was under McCarthy's blanket. It's like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You're calling out your friends. Are you getting something else, you know, for you to be calling out your friends like publicly, you know? So it's like every time I see her, it's
Congresswoman, where do things stand on the motion to vacate?
I sent a
I went over this yesterday. I sent a letter out to my colleagues yesterday morning. The current discussions in our conference meeting this morning is about FISA, but it's pretty clear and obvious and being whispered among the conference. Mike Johnson does not have the support of the conference. The letter that I sent has been well received, and it was basically speaking the quiet part out loud. He's in there urging members to reauthorize FISA, and I don't think he has the votes for it right now, is what I'm gathering. We're going to be working on this. We do not believe in warrantless spying on the American people, especially when this bill carves out the ability for Congress to be notified.
Now, let me also play this.
Choice that we had.
Yeah. What about as it relates to Marjorie Taylor Greene, real quick? So you've reached out, but she's not returning your calls or something along those lines?
We exchanged text messages over the break multiple times and told her that I really would love to visit by phone or at her convenience, and she said she wasn't interested in that. So
okay.
You
know.
Is it me or?
Yeah. So here's the scenario for Johnson, and we've been critical of Johnson. I would liken it to, congratulations, you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And,
okay. All right.
And by that, I'd say it's like a super good job.
That hurts, Jay, but I'll let you have that one.
Like, hey, it's a super great job, and it's one of the most prestigious things in the world. Mm-hmm. But oh, by the way, you're not really in charge. The guy who's in charge is Jerry Jones. And he's going to tell you what to do. And you're going to look the fool many times because you're doing something you don't necessarily believe in, because Jerry Jones is sitting back there saying, oh no, I know you want to start quarterback X, but this is who you're going to start. So I think Johnson's in a no-win scenario. And that's because Jerry Jones is the establishment, the Uniparty, the Kevin McCarthy's. They're the ones who want to campaign on issues, not actually get anything done. They're the ones who want to raise money and get donor kickbacks and help their friends. And I mean, that's what happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene, in my opinion, is she showed up at Congress, an ideologue. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt. And then they said, well, Marjorie, here's the thing. You can come in here and do your job and be one of these members of the House nobody's ever heard of that just shows up and does their thing. You know, there's hundreds of people in the House. You can only name 20 of them, right? Or or you can sign up for the program where you get in on the money train. You know, you'll get committee assignments. You've got to vote a certain way. You've got to do certain things. And you're kind of a firebrand. So if you go out there and say stuff that gets everybody fired up. And the Republican Party doesn't want to get anything done. The establishment Republicans, and that's why you see Marjorie Taylor, in my opinion, shifting from, hey, let's give Speaker Johnson a chance, to we need a motion to vacate, because let's say he actually got something done, then her establishment cronies that she's kind of drifted over to that side now, they'd have to the Senate. The Senate Republicans don't want to have to vote on impeaching Mayorkas. They don't.
Right.
Now, there is a valid reason, like that they're opening Pandora's box with Mayorkas' impeachment.
True.
But Pandora's box is open, so we can either play the game or not. But yeah, I think I hope I'm wrong. I hope Marjorie Taylor Greene ends up being solid. But it just stinks of, and you see it in these trajectories for these politicians where they get into office and they're ideologues. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is how I make money. Okay. And then all of a sudden they start going the other way. It's like, oops.
Real quick. Before we started the show, you know about the Baseball Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
All right. I don't think that a whole lot of people that are in the Hall of Fame should be in the Hall of Fame. What do you think?
100%.
Okay. I even posted on Twitter X. I was like, some of these people shouldn't have jackets. They might, I mean, give them hoodies, but they don't believe, I mean, but they shouldn't have NFL or NBA or NHL Hall of Fame things, because now people are getting there off of their name, or if they were like, some are in there because they're controversial with the media. It's not about the way I look at all of the Hall of Fames is you should be in there if you did something significantly for the game, or if the game changed, or the game changed because of something you did, or the game had to change to stop you because you were so dominant, like Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain went in there. They had to expand the lane. They had to expand the lane because he was blocking everything that was in it.
Right.
Dude, he changed the game. The reason why I think Magic Bird and Larry Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, not only did they revive the NBA, they changed a lot of the things through the 80s where it was just them in the championship.
Right.
You know, okay, put them in. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, greatest scorer of all time without the three-point shot, put him in there. In the NFL, you have your great quarterbacks that have won three Super Bowls. I don't think you should go in the Hall of Fame just because you win a Super Bowl. One, like, and I know some people would definitely not agree with me. Who was a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers?
Favre or Rodgers?
Rodgers. People say, oh, he's one of the greatest of all time. Why? He plays great, but he only has one Super Bowl win. Yep. Brett Favre, I think, got two. You know, I mean, and to me, honestly, if you really want to break it down, if you really want to go back, because, you know, some people say Tom Brady, but I always think, and it hurts me to say this, I always think that Joe Montana, to me, was the greatest quarterback of all time. Do you know the greatest, the top money maker in NFL of all time?
Who's that?
Roger Staubach.
Oh, really?
Yes. For where they are right now, even
network. Yeah, he invested in a bunch of businesses when he left.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Dude's loaded.
Yeah. Split Rock says it used to be an honor. You're right. It used to be an honor to be in the Hall of Fame. Right now, to me, Charles Barkley shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He didn't win a championship. Really hadn't done anything. He has a big mouth, though. I mean, again, maybe you don't need the jacket. Maybe you need a hoodie. You know, Hall of Fame hoodie, you know. But you shouldn't be.
When I think about, like, generational talent who should be in a Hall of Fame, I mean, it's a pretty small list.
Yes.
You know.
It should be a small list.
And I think that's kind of been what we've done as a society, is we just keep making the participation trophies bigger and bigger. And don't get me wrong, those athletes in the Hall of Fame, they do things I could never do.
Right.
And they do it better than most people. But
give them YouTube, though.
What's that?
Give them YouTube. They don't need to be in the Hall. Some of these people don't need to be in the Hall of Fame.
Although I do got to take issue with the athletes are paid too much tweet. I think you're wrong.
Really? For the crap that we're getting?
Look at the Dallas Cowboys. Here's what I'll say.
You brought up the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are getting ready to pay at least three people millions of dollars, and they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl.
Here's what I'll say. What ruined football is government money going into it. Because if state and local agencies didn't put money into where they could build these stadiums, that's what screwed it up. Government got involved in sports through different kickbacks, through different things. Okay. And I understand the city's goal, because if you get a stadium, you're going to make up the revenue somewhere else. But as soon as the government got involved with that, that created all these salary things. And I don't think you salary cap it. I think the Cowboys should win three games if they spend their money stupid, you know, like let them go. But now when these sports teams are going back, holding up cities, like, hey, we're going to move if you don't do whatever.
Yeah.
That's where it all gets screwed up is so. I mean, I think anytime government gets involved in something, it just gets weird. You know, why is Amazon as big as they are? Because they screwed over the post office.
Google.
Like, they got this great real deal from the post office that allowed their business to go to the moon. Still, every time you open an Amazon package from the U.S. Post Office, understand taxpayers, like, we lost money on that. The United States government and therefore taxpayers lost money on that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I kind of enjoy, and this is as a small market team in Minnesota between the Vikings or Twins or whatever. Like, I see years where they spend stupid and I'm like, oh, they're going to be terrible. And like, I think that's the fun of sports, because you think in your head, like, oh, if I was the owner, I would do this or that. But I think there needs to be no constraints on them. I think they need to just go nuts and, you know, let's have survival of the fittest. Why would you nanny him? Like, if Jerry Jones wants to pay three dudes.
Because the American taxpayer, the everyday worker that saves up money to take their child to go see a baseball game. And you're seeing crud, man. You're seeing these people. Nobody should ever go to a football game with as much money as these people are making, and their football team only scores 3 points.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, or for their home team to get blown out by another team of superstars that are getting paid whatever. President Trump was asked about the Arizona bill. We're going, before we get ready to go to final thoughts.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Can
you,
Mr. President, did Arizona go too far? Did Arizona go too far?
Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights. That'll be straightened out. And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that'll be taken care of, I think, very quickly.
What do you think about Florida?
Florida's probably maybe going to change also. See, it's all of what the will of the people. This is what I've been saying. It's a perfect system. So for 52 years, people have wanted to end Roe v. Wade to get it back to the states. We did that. It was an incredible thing, an incredible achievement. We did that, and now the states have it, and the states are putting out what they want. It's the will of the people. So Florida's probably going to change. Arizona's going to definitely change. Everybody wants that to happen. And you're getting the will of the people. It's been pretty amazing when you think.
Is it really the will of the people, or is it the will of that Supreme Court?
Well, I tried to explain earlier how this.
You know, Carrie Lake was like, nope, change it. This ain't going to work, y'all. Because she's also trying to get elected, too. So, wait, change it. This ain't right.
I'm going to say the overturning of Roe versus Wade and what the Arizona Supreme Court did from a legal perspective was absolutely the right thing to do, because both those cases set up, both those cases set up bad legal precedents. So I think that was phenomenal that they reversed those. Now for the actual what the abortion law should be, that needs to be the will of the people. Like, put it on the ballot, let people vote. You know what I mean?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been watching the Wayne Dupree podcast. I'm Wayne Dupree. We also have the Imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robinson. We'll be back tomorrow to end our week. And we want y'all to have a great evening. If you have some news or tips or whatnot, you can always email us at wayne@waynedupree.com or call us at 1-800-895-5725. Leave us a message so we can play it on the show. Jason, give me some last thoughts, and then we're going to get out of here.
All right, folks. Wayne, great show as always. Hutch, we'll have him back tomorrow. Thought of the day. People don't understand we don't live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. And those are very different things. And the reason why we don't live in a democracy is our framers knew you never wanted it set up where somebody gets 51% and could just run roughshod over everybody, which is what Democrats are trying to do. Second thing to pay attention to is, we mentioned it earlier, Marjorie Taylor Greene did about this FISA thing. This FISA decision the House is reaching is really huge. FISA lets them spy on American citizens, and there's a number of people that are fighting against it. But what's interesting is how the government's trying to get it passed is they're giving a FISA exemption to members of Congress. So if you don't, that's what their negotiating point is. We'll exempt members of Congress and their staff from the same spying we want to do to American citizens. So keep your eye on that one. They can't renew that FISA stuff. That's awful.
There you go. All right, my friends, we're out of here. God bless.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.